Happiness is a complex emotion that is often difficult to define. Some people believe that happiness is simply a state of being content with one's life, while others believe that it's a more active pursuit of joy and fulfillment. Listen today to my conversation to learn more. Hello, and welcome to Sailing Through Life. I'm Lori, your host and friend. Join me as I share conversations that give you hope through the storms of life. You'll find inspiration through the experiences of my guests, as well as hearing my own crazy, wonderful adventure. Create the life you desire by discovering new ways to focus on your health and well-being through modifying your habits and improving your mindset. Set sail with me on this journey to realize the strength and resilience you have inside. Let us show you how as you sail through life. Welcome aboard. Thanks for sharing your time with me today. You are so important to me, and I'm grateful for you being here. I hope to continue to bring inspiration to your day every day. Want to be a part of the crew? Support us by sharing the show with your friends and family and by making a contribution financially to help us continue to grow. You can learn more at sailingthroughlifepodcast.com. So, can happiness be simply defined as just wanting to be you and wanting the life you have? That's what Karen Seitz, the happiness mentor, believes. In our conversation, Karen shares her journey from self-destruction to true self-actualization, proving that happiness is not an emotion or a fleeting feeling, but a state of being. Prepare to be enlightened, inspired, and challenged. Hi, Karen. Thank you so much for being here today.
Hi, Lori. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, today's topic, and a very important one at that, is happiness. You are here because you have your own story of the search for your happiness, and you obviously have discovered something amazing. After all, you're the happiness mentor. I'm excited to get into this conversation with you because the timing could not be better. I think I need to start with a fairly broad question. What is the secret to being happy? And I know this is a huge question for so many of us. So I don't know, maybe break that down a little bit. What defines happiness? Maybe that's where we should start.
Wonderful. That's a great place to start because in my experience, in my journey, Lori, I had happiness all wrong. And when I look around and I hear people talking about happiness or I read things about what happiness is, I work with, you know, many people and hear their idea of what happiness is. I'm going to be blunt. We've got it all wrong. We want to believe, and what I wanted to believe on my journey, that happiness is a feeling, that it's an emotion, that it's a feeling of gratitude or a feeling of joy or a feeling of pleasure. I wanted it to be this list out feeling that on my spiritual path, I did a lot of yoga and I was a yoga teacher. And I wanted happiness to be that wonderful feeling I would feel for about 20 minutes after a yoga class. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to live in that all the time. And the problem with that is that's not based in any kind of reality, because the reality of life is that it is full of curveballs. It's full of things we're not expecting. It's full of hardship. It's full of losses. It's full of many wonderful things as well. And it's not realistic to think that going through life and the up and down journeys of life, that you're going to feel happy all the time, or you are going to feel joy or gratitude even all the time. So how I define happiness through my own experience, what I teach others, is that happiness is really a state of being. And that what happiness means is I only want to be me. And I only want the life I have. I only want me and I only want the life I have. How I define unhappy is always wanting what I don't have.
Right. Yeah.
Right. always wanting what I don't have.
I think that's what we're geared to do, is always be focused on what we're missing, and gratitude and being aware of what you do have and staying focused on that really does make the difference.
Yeah. And from my perspective, the reason that we have that experience of always wanting what we don't have is, yes, we live in a culture, we live in a society where we're bombarded with what we're told our lives need to look like, or what we should have, or what we should achieve, or what we should accomplish. It's also very much ingrained in our humanness that we're constantly seeking to achieve, acquire, accomplish, looking for our meaning and purpose outside of us. So when we look for our meaning and purpose outside of us, we're getting all of our value from people and things that we have no control over. And the result is we end up empty on the inside, not having any self-value. So the bridge to get to a place where I only want to be me, I only want the life I have, is learning how to become my own meaning and purpose, and learning to value me. And that's how we get to a place of, I only want to be me, I only want the life I have. And the foundation of that, the foundation of being happy, is I know I will be okay no matter what. I know I will be okay no matter what. No matter what the twist and turn is in my life, no matter the curveball, the loss, the hardship, the obstacle to overcome, when I'm happy, I know I will be okay no matter what, because I have me and I'm embracing life and embracing the obstacles to grow and learn.
Right. Well, I think you get so desperate. That's the thing.
You do.
You're like, if these people are in the right frame of mind and you fall into that category where you can immerse yourself in it, that is going to save you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very much what I thought. I wanted, I love that you said that. I wanted something or someone else to save me. I wanted something or someone else to have the answers for me, which is where I got so lost. And then I was very, in all of this, in my own searching and own personal quest to heal, to find deeper connection, I also trained in all these modalities. That's where I became a yoga teacher. I became a Reiki master. I became a shamanic healer. And I had my own healing practice. And people would come to me for their answers to heal. And deep down, I felt like a fraud. Because I still, even though my life looked different on the outside, I looked different on the outside. On the inside, I was still very insecure, still very much in self-doubt, negative self-talk, not feeling good about myself, doubting myself, questioning myself, all symptoms of being unhappy. And I was very fortunate to meet my mentors, who were the first people. And all the people I was seeing to try to fix me and get better, they were the first people, Lori, that said, Karen, you are the problem. You are the problem.
That was hard to it's not your year.
You know, I used to think that, but Lori, I was craving somebody to tell me that. I was craving, because I had such a story, such a victim story around my childhood, my parents, my past experiences, but I could see my choices. I could see the things I was doing that I knew better than, that I knew the difference between right and wrong. And I wanted somebody, I was craving somebody to wake me up and say, it's you. Because somewhere in me, I knew that it wasn't a mystery. I just needed somebody to lovingly, but very directly call that out for me. And that put me on a path of understanding that I had been the common denominator in every experience in my life. I was the common denominator. And what that means is that we can point the finger out to all the people and things and experiences we've had as adults to say, it's this, this, and this that I'm struggling so much and I'm a mess and I'm where I'm at. But then there's no solution in that. because we can't change those people or things or past events, and they're certainly not going to change us. So being able to see I was the common denominator, that I was the one constant through all of my life's issues and challenges, empowered me to become the solution, because I am the only one and the only thing that I can change. And as I started to look at myself and I started to know myself as the problem, that's where it's counterintuitive, but that's where I actually started to build self-value, to show myself that I'm important enough to take the hard look in the mirror, to assess my life's choices and where I am today, that I got myself to, and start to change my behaviors and start to change my choices. And in that, I began to build a relationship with myself and feel good about who I am, which is the building block and the foundation of being happy.
You know, as you were speaking, I was sitting here and there were a bunch of things running through my mind. I was thinking about how we're always trying to fill a void. And the void is, you envision filling it with a feeling of happiness, or like you were saying, operating in that zen of always having that elevated feeling. And as you were talking, I saw that void being filled with those experiences that were deep and connecting to you, and sorting through that. And I had a vision earlier today about a wave crashing. And I kind of depicted this chaos that was happening on the surface. But down below, it was very serene. You saw the marine life and you saw the seagrasses and the coral, and everything was just going with the flow. And they didn't have any problem with what was going on in the water. But on the surface, the waves were everywhere crashing. And I thought that it was very symbolic to me. And that seems like this is in line with that, where you're trying to make something it's not. And that creates more chaos. And when you get in line with what's going on, that's when you feel the peace.
How I put that, Lori, great connection, is another understanding of that definition I gave of happiness. I only want to be me, and I only want the life I have. What that leads to, that's in line with your experience that you just shared, is a deep acceptance of yourself and a deep acceptance of life. That when we build our value internally in who we are, then it's me that fills that void in myself. It's that connection to myself that fills the void, or the connection to yourself that fills that void. And it is in that place that we find our own inner peace, our own sense of being grounded in who we are, even in the face of chaos. And yes, there's going to be ripples in that peace as we're facing the unknown and the ups and downs are the waves of life, but we have the ability to grow and learn through that. So we come back to that experience of having that inner peace that comes from that deep acceptance of who we are and the deep acceptance of life.
Anybody who's craving that feeling that this thing that dangles out in front of us of this place we're going to get to, it's deceiving. It is there already. It's just you're not looking at it, and that's a hard place for people to be, because the power that the negative things has in your life is overpowering the vision you have to just turn a little bit to see things in a different light. And this is something that it's not, you do it once and you've got it figured out. It's a practice that you have to have to continue to turn a little bit and change your vision of what you're looking at, or seeing things in a different light. And that fight that we deal with all the time gets easier because you do get better at it and you do recognize things. But what what can we do if we're on the start of this journey of finding this place of feeling alive?
Mm-hmm. Well, I wrote down, because I had a feeling, Lori, you might ask me a question like this. And so I wrote down four practical steps and more four practical perspectives we need to take to begin and be on this journey of being happy and feeling alive and vibrant and fulfilled in ourselves. And I think that these four perspectives, Lori, or I know these four perspectives support what you are saying, and that happiness isn't some place you get to, and getting to this place of acceptance in yourself and acceptance in life and having inner peace is not this place that you get to where you can throw your feet up or kick your feet up and coast. That's our human fantasy of what we want happiness to be. Once I just mm-hmm. get my life here and I get this problem solved and I get this solved and my life looks like this, then everything will be good. But that's not how life works. And so that's a trap to always be unhappy. So my four perspectives or four tips or the strategy very much speak to this being a journey and embracing the journey to cultivate that inner happiness of feeling good about who you are and only wanting to be you and only wanting the life you have, even in the face of the challenges or hardships or losses that you're experiencing or have had in your life. So here's the first one. And this was a hard one for me. And I'll explain it a little bit so that it doesn't sound so scary. But the first one is that in order for us to be on a journey to cultivate inner happiness, we first must know that we are unhappy. We first must know that we are unhappy. That was a really hard one for me because I did everything under the sun and by all means made it look like I had it all together to myself and everybody else. It was like, don't tell me I'm unhappy. You have no idea how much money I have spent, how many books I have read, how many therapists I have seen. I am happy. But remember, the definition of unhappy, as I laid it out today, is always wanting what you don't have. And we can all look through our life and look at the different steps we've taken to get to the next place, the next accomplishment, the next goal, the next dream we have, and getting that. And it fills us up for a little bit. And then we find ourselves searching again of what's the next thing, right? If I just got this, then I'd be happy. That's the experience of being unhappy. So we have to know we are unhappy and have to know where we are at to get to the next place and get to a place of being happy. I call it, you have to know where you're on the map to get from point A to point B. Otherwise, you just spin around in circles. So that's the first. And it's not a big, bad thing. It's just our human experience. Our pursuit of happiness shows us we're unhappy when we look at it from that definition. Number two, you have to want to be happy. And you might say, Karen, what do you mean? Everybody wants to be happy. But in my experience and my journey, I have fought being happy because I was so used to living from a place of not feeling good about myself, of looking to my outside world to give me my answers, to make me feel good about myself, to give me a sense of value, that was my comfort zone. And so it felt scary to take the leap and start to learn to find my meaning and purpose in me and to value me, because that was an unknown experience to me. And we all know that as humans, we are terrified of the unknown. And so for us as humans, being happy is the unknown. So we have to want to be happy, which also means we give up all of our excuses and we look within. And we've also lived an experience where our happiness has always been short-lived and temporary. So we tell ourselves, if I'm happy, then it'll just get taken away, but not from this place of what we're talking about today. So that's the second. You have to want to actually be happy. And number three is what we talked about before, is to know that happiness is not a feeling, that it's really a state of being where you only want to be you and you just want the life that you have. So stop chasing the feeling of happy and start embracing life to grow and learn so that you are developing inner self-value and you feel good about yourself, which brings me to the last and the fourth that I have written down here, is that how we really begin to cultivate being our own meaning and purpose, cultivate valuing you, is to do and be the best you can in every endeavor in your life, no matter if that is something challenging and hard that life has brought your way or something you are embarking on yourself. Do and be the best you can be to feel good about yourself. And doing and being the best you can be doesn't mean being perfect. It means doing the best that you can for where you are at and continuing to grow and learn and know that your best keeps growing and keeps evolving and changing as you grow.
I think the hard part for me in that is being patient, because I think you have a comfort when you get to a certain place that you're starting to feel true to yourself, but then you're being impatient because you expect the next day for things to be different. And it takes time for things to settle out. If you've dealt with anything in your life that made you feel like there was an urgency to doing certain things, that is a hard feeling to fight, being impatient. I'm totally into these four steps, because I can go through as you're talking and apply a step in multiple areas of life and know that I'm at different places. So it's not like I don't envision this being like, okay, I did step one, check. I think each area of your life is at a different place on this list as well. And, you know, some places where if you feel good about certain things in your life, you may be further down the list than if you've gotten a challenge recently that affects another aspect. So I could see it cumulatively where you have that overall checklist, but I also see parts of that being pulled off in different directions.
Mm-hmm. My perspective on that, Lori, thank you, comes back to something I was talking about earlier in the show about being the common denominator in our life. Mm-hmm. And what I have found that works best for me is keeping the focus on me, knowing I'm growing and learning through all of these different areas of life, whether that be my marriage or my career or with family or with my friends or with God or with the news and the things that come up in the news. But again, that one constant is me, and I might be further along in one area than another, but each area is there, each relationship or each aspect of life is there to bring up patterns and limitations in myself to continue to improve upon it and continue to outgrow so that I can be me and be the best version of me in my whole life, so that I don't get caught in the trap of compartmentalizing every area, because that's where I get from myself. That's where I really complicate things and make things very overwhelming. Whereas if I keep that focus on me and being the common denominator, then that's where I can feel grounded in myself, know I'm going to be okay, have that patience with myself, and just continue doing the best that I can and continue to see myself grow and learn in all those different areas and aspects of life.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you, because I know how much this conversation means to so many people, and the ease at which you've described this process and what this all means in our lives and how obtainable this makes it for somebody to really take the initiative to make those changes.
Yeah. Thank you, Lori, and thank you for having me and giving me the opportunity to share this, because I think it is something we all need to hear. And I often make the joke, but it's not really a joke. If I can do this, and the struggles I had and the stubbornness and the fight that I have had, it's attainable for all of us. It really truly is. I know we're wrapping up, so I won't get into this too much, but I think of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and at the pyramid of the hierarchy of needs as humans is self-actualization, which is really using life to grow and learn and become the best version of yourself. And what I believe that means is that we all have the capacity to be happy. Nothing's missing in you. You are not broken. We all have the capacity. We just need that simple roadmap. We just need to realign to use life to grow and learn. And it's within all of us to be happy. We just haven't been given that roadmap. So thank you so much.
Karen claimed that happiness is not an emotion or a fleeting feeling, but a state of being, saying it's about wanting to be yourself and wanting the life you have. In a society where we often desire what we don't have, this is a refreshing and empowering perspective. It shifts the focus from external accomplishments to an internal sense of self-value and contentment. By facing these adversities, we can develop resilience and become better equipped to handle our future challenges. Learn more about Karen and how she can help you on her website at karenseitz.com. That's KarynSeitz.com. You'll find the link in the episode description. Reach out to me if you'd like to share your experience or if you know an organization to help even just one person. You can find me at sailingthroughlifepodcast.com. Stay anchored. Chat with you next time.